equipo de Nasking, Fuente y Simini. So I read to them, and he didn't get his invitation to go home. But if you did get his invitation, go and the DM and so on. But you are most welcome. Nice to have you here, the city, and your team, the gentleman. They have done, I remember, from the team. The chapter of the car, the car, the mother, and the counselor, and the ex-credit manager, who are here, and everyone else who's here. We are starting, but we'll start with the work, because we started from work, and kids hanging, and products, and public, and so on. And by the way, it will be a taxi doing work. Not here, so that you can be able to get alien flight back to do your work Babylon. Positive that there's a lot it has to be not here. Only make love here and so on. But thank you very much, the remote was come this year. We can proceed where we have. Members, I hope you still remember where we left. Anyone that does not remember where we left, so that we can. No, I can see everyone remember where we left in terms of dedication and so on. This year on your team, we don't need a long team, long presentation and so on. We just want to deal with the issues that are outstanding, so that we can move further and so on.
Good morning, but just if you're guys, I'm told that I just starting to could I just put you?
Yes, members, I hope you have the hard code. Five and for this, to have the hard code, what the IT is. But the call is from this, I'm not sure if you have the right to say what you want to. Or this is a process. She's saying, not now, okay, but you can for this.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members. And thank you again, and thank you, Minister, for your support. I would also thank Chairperson and the members for the interaction when we were here last week. Like I said, in the interest of the department, and we went back and sat down and looked at the procedures in terms of what procedures were introduced initially by assignment and the whole interaction with the auditor general. And what figures eventually emanated in the annual report to get to a point where we can understand where the mistake could have happened. What I can confirm, Honorable Chairperson, is that the figures that are in the page 23 that was reflected by Honorable Chairperson, the 2,329 million is correct, and the 899 million is also correct. What had happened is that the figures when they were presented on the Excel spreadsheet, that is the one presented to the audit committee, and the revenues were duly audited by the agency as a true reflection of the financial position of the department. The error happened during the compilation of the annual report when there was a compilation of 1.6, as Honorable Stein has said, 1,158.5 million. And that also resulted in the switching of the minimum of the figure. That is the private television station. If you can go back to the page, and also you are confused with the 3,825 million, which is for private television station. But I do want to mention the figure that happened, and that Honorable team was commenting and discussing the error. But it's not enough just for us to acknowledge and reflect. But I think what is an agreed the team is that we need to now just look at the whole everything and how do we ensure that in this process that we're undertaking to optimize our internal control, but also quality control, so that what is gets generated by one unit and as an input to another unit, you don't find that you have a different output coming out. So there's an issue that we need to address internally in the department of internal control and also quality control, to ensure that this kind of an error that will happen in the future. But it's a process that we've started, so and then we'll be able to address it and go forward. But we do want to thank the committee in terms of the social technical for us. Now, the second issue also that was raised by the committee was with regard to the irregular expenditure, the condonement, about the 31 million in terms of how who condones it and all it. This amount of condoned by the what we refer to as the departmental bid adjudication committee, DFES. And DFES does not just condone for the top condonement. They go through a number of processes so that that are governed by the National Treasury Chancellor. And one of the strategies was to a forensic investigation that indeed the department has received ready for the money as the form of accommodation services to the vendor. And members would know that in the report previously that there was a travel agent appointed by the department during the period of 2006 to 2009, where there were violations of procurement practices in terms of how the travel agents were appointed. Now, the money used, the department did benefit, so we did travel, but I said the issue is that the irregular expenditure has to do with how the process was followed, and hence why the total amount that was spent on traveling is therefore classified as irregular expenditure. And we did support that there was a disciplinary process that we followed with regard to the individuals that were found these violators and those proceedings. Now, with regard to criminal proceedings, that can only be instituted if reasonable evidence exists that the money has been used fraudulently or that implicated employees benefited from them. In this instance, none of this applies because we as a department benefited from this process. The next issue that was also raised that we needed to address with regard to is the irregular expenditure is on the 115.579 million amount. This amount relates to the transaction that also was affected during the 2006, where 83% of that amount is as a result of the 2006-2009 procurement processes, while 17% relates to the under review. Transactions by prior years were in relation to the procurement of the travel intervention, but because we are now declaring it now as a result of the forensic and investigation, and what is now being reflected as an irregular expenditure in this particular report. Now, the balance of the irregular expenditure for the year under review has been referred to the legal unit to advise the appropriate steps to be taken against any transaction. Once you receive the recommendations, then we can then act on how we understand those issues. The next issue also that is also needed to come back and report on is with regard to the wasteful and prudent expenditure. An amount of about 13.478 million was reported during the year under the review. 92% of that relates to prior years, while 8% of all is for the year under review. The same as I reported previously, a process led by legal unit also is currently underway to investigate this gap and recover, because some of this has to do with a no-show or those kind of things. What we can also report is that 1.3 was recovered from the combination of no-show and other things. Now, there's also a specific matter of 1.6 million that has also been referred to the law enforcement agency in terms of the cover of that money. Now, the next issue also that we were requested to also report back on is with regard to the number of employees who had not completed or had not submitted their performance agreement. What we can report on is that there were 3 employees that did not submit their performance agreement. Some of them, They were recently appointed in the clinic. The rules are that a person would be in a job for a period of 3 months before they are supposed to submit a performance agreement. So that's one of the reasons why the newly appointed people who were not able to finalize. But what we then liaised with them is that in the new financial year, there were interactions with HR team so that employees have got the necessary documentation and understand the processes that need to be followed. But what we can also report is that once the due date has been can confirm that as an example of the government management policy, we do actually now in this financial year have a policy. What I think we can do is to consolidate an action list of those recommendations and progress towards achieving those recommendations. What internal audit also does on a regular basis is follow up on audits to verify the implementation of the action plan and the effectiveness of the internal control. The next thing that we also requested to address is with regard to the performance or payment of the performance bonuses. The payment of performance bonuses is based on a number of issues. The first one being the performance agreement set standard must be met by employee annually. In the case where standards have been exceeded, performance bonuses are then paid to employees. This is also defined in the performance management policy of the department. How we then go through the process is that we establish a performance assessment board, starting with the non-SMS, which is chaired by the respective DDC, and for the SMS, the performance board is chaired by myself. And those performance boards, the purpose is to determine the individual contribution of each employee and recommend appropriate reward and also recommend data that may require further improvement. Under the year that we are talking to, 146 black SMS were paid as performance bonuses, and only 12 SMS were paid as performance bonuses. We do have a list of those that were paid as performance bonuses, but one would request honorable chairperson is that if the committee requires us to provide a list, I propose that we provide the information in Canada. So what is the scenario where, because of the confidential information about people's performance bonuses, that we could find to have violated the respective individual's privacy. And the next issue is that also want to clarify is that not employees that don't have a performance agreement that has received a performance bonus. So when you do not have a performance agreement or you submitted a performance agreement late, you are automatically disqualified from being eligible to receive a performance bonus. The next issue that we also requested to clarify with regard to communication is how do we distribute our materials in terms of to the provinces or to our key stakeholders. The offices of our state-owned enterprises or state-owned companies to the department both at national and regional, that's where we distribute our pamphlets. And when we also undertake either the deputy minister or the ministers, we normally set them as public participation. Now they are being set as individuals. We will take those communication materials depending on what the focus would be so that they are able to communicate the work of the department. We would also, through the intergovernmental relations unit, as they undertake their business at different municipalities, often undertake those activities. The next issue that also you can have as a collaboration is with regard to the government community information system, that is the GCIS, and also our strategic partners like the universities and the SP colleges. And also we do put our information on the DOC and website. There was also a concern raised with regard to our SOE oversight, whether it is effective or not. We thought that let's reflect on how we undertake this process. And as part of strengthening the SOE oversight, Honorable Senator will recall that there was a discussion previously about the need to establish a branch so that there can be a dedicated focus on SOE oversight and management. We tend to support the recruit and structuring process. The department does now have a branch which is led by a DDG that will effectively fulfill this mandate. We are currently in the process of appointing a DDG and also a number of SLS positions that will assist us in capacitating the SOE oversight role of the department. With regard to expenditure patterns of our stable enterprises, these are analyzed on a quarterly basis. with ministers by short meeting, which is attended by the board and the executive director. And those bilateral meetings are minuted with the catalyzing. What then happens immediately after the bilateral meeting, we forward the minutes, those letters are written to the respective entities, and then from there a process gets triggered in terms of following up on those letters writing. In instances where the department we do not receive cooperation, depending on who is not assisting us, sometimes this is a matter where I would have to individually phone the respective CEO and then raise messages of their operation or also on a specific issue, if depending on what the issue is. We would also set up a meeting to follow up on some of the issues that came up from the bilateral. Now, the last issue that I would like to raise on this side, in the commission of the government and the state by our entity, which we also reported at our last presentation, is that a team audit process has been initiated by the minister under the guidance of the Ontario agenda himself to ensure that all our entities and the department attain a team audit by 2014. With regard to the ICT hub, these ICT hubs are established with the purpose of facilitating the growth and development of ICT and SMEs in underserved provinces. The program is structured in a manner that the department develops a business and an operating model. However, one of the things that we would like to emphasize is that this is a process that we undertake in collaboration with the provinces and other role players who are required to donate, for example, things like premises, suitable locations, and also funding for the implementation of these hubs. The next issue that was also raised by Honorable Kekana is with regard to the management performance assessment tool, which we normally refer to as the MPEC. This is a performance tool that was initiated by the Department of Planning and Evaluation. We started with this process during the year under review. And this tool has got a number of performance areas and standards. The self-assessment, and the reason why I say self-assessment is that as a department you would assess ourselves and then forward it around to the DPME, and then they would then evaluate and look at how we would assess ourselves. The self-assessment results are positioned the department in terms of four progressive levels of management performance against a set of standards in multiple management performance areas. Where a department scores a level of 1 or 2 for a particular management area, which is non-compliant with a minimum and legal in that management area. And a performance of 1 and 2 is regarded as performing poorly in terms of the management practices in that area. When a department scores itself with a 3 or say above, that is fully compliant with a legal prescript. And a 4 is where the department on the other hand is fully compliant and operating smartly in terms of its management practices in that area. The scoring that the outcome of the scoring for the department is excellent. With regard to the strategic management is 3, governance and administration is 3.1. This is where I think the HR issues are. Employee system and processes is 2.6, and financial management is 3. Honorable Chairman, in conclusion, that cover all the areas that we have to address in our last
thank you for the meeting. eine riesige Brücke und wieder mal für die Pumpe. Das C ist für eine Zerbrechung nicht noch anders als für den Rent. But it says that we're confused with a fee of 2.5 to 2 million. So I'm not sure if we now I don't understand when saying nothing under 2 million in terms of the licensing. Now, we are now talking about confused with 382. So either the 382 must increase by 160, or so that's my first problem there. Then,
Thank you.
problem with selling the strong performance quality. I heard performance is there by law. The law says people must find performance management. And if there's an act, I don't know the things how they work. I thought if there's an act, then it goes for quality. For the act goes for quality. It decides these are the main principles why you want performance management. I don't understand because if people have been signing performance management, how do they sign it? There's no question. Maybe you can explain the details.
actually bought hay on page 190 of the annual report. If reference made slide 8 to that, I would like to concur with Honourable Shin as far as the high percentage of stocks that were in fact awarded based on standards having exceeded standards, more than half, and clearly cannot hold the water with departmental performance as a general approach. Chairperson, with reference to page 11, Honourable Stain referred to the fact that quarterly reports are usually based on performance against budget. I just wanted to ask, having seen what is happening that in some of the SOEs as well as in the department itself, there are serious challenges to meet certain targets, if the department will reconsider the rollout or the assessment so that expenditure on critical areas actually takes place during the first to the third term rather than running over and spilling over into the fourth term. Because practically, that poses a very serious problem in government departments, with procurement processes, having to go through bidding exercises, etc. Sometimes you call a sort of an understep, and it is because expenditure is usually seen over four terms, well, but the major portion of expenditure should preferably actually take place over the first three quarters. Otherwise, in the fourth quarter, you can just adjust wherever something fell through, you could make. Otherwise, you get hockey stick expenditure, as they call it. It's sort of unnecessary expenditure that takes place so that you don't lose as amount and have to pay that to the National Revenue Fund. So I've covered and for the rest, thank you.
Thank you. What's your name?
I would want to.
London, the matter has been addressed through the combination of what? Combination of what? Combination. Can we just get clarity on that? And then also the shows of the agreement that was signed, a combination of what? And how? If the employee does not have a contract, then it cannot be similarly because he doesn't have a contract. So I want to know, do you make sure that contract is signed by the employee? And who makes sure that the employee's contract has been signed? You as a teacher, do you make sure that employee's contract has been signed? And can you just guarantee if you capture on that combination of what? Because that seems to be really not clear. Thank you. Thank you, Adama. Killer?
Thank you. again next year, and see that person. That is the reason now I'm saying I request that here in our next report, before we have our report, we must bring the internal auditors and the audit committee to come in. There are several areas where I can really tell you that the responses are not really, they are not really consistent. Because it's not clear what is going to be done after this since the
someone Question and whatever.
What are the person would recall when we were here, I think it was last year, I think it was September or October, where I reported that I submitted, filed and submitted my performance agreement to the former minister. By the time that we had my performance agreement was due in terms of concluding, it was not signed. But that copy was submitted in terms of to our human resource unit. Now, here we are dealing with employees who themselves have not signed their performance agreement, because there's also an issue that we're also trying to deal with, and also encourage employees to also take responsibility of their own performance agreement, and not the issue that you're waiting for your supervisor to also deal with it. But I would allow CDG Philadelphia to also conclude the minutes of my name. The next issue...
Before CDG goes to the next issue, there is a direct question to you, who you must respond, as you conclude your performance contract. Remember, it's 8 years they presented. At one point, the NDA said that they could not find any evidence of such performance contract when they were raising the issue, when it arrived. And remember what they are asking, that a special order was issued. She was asking a direct question to you, can you conclude it? So it has a direct question, does not need a story. It's either responding or didn't do it and so on. I think that was a direct question you must respond to before you can proceed to other members.
Now, another question, my performance agreement was that I signed it, drafted it, and signed it, and submitted it to be considered by the former minister, but it was not signed by him.
Can but honorable Dr. Hendon,
The way
performance comes with a medal of performance on the course. You apply as a LATG, but once you are there for the employment contract, but more and about the performance, some of them they will identify your performance area. That also needs to be touched because that's what you commit, that for this period I will achieve 1, 2, 3. And that's how the senior position of the department, the minister will evaluate the performance of the team in terms of that performance area and so on. Now, but I'm just trying to say, but you can respond. But all that I'm saying, the other one is the product. The other one is specific because annually the target might not be the performance area which you want to prioritize. The next year you might focus on something else, or the performance part of it is the one which you commit in terms of what they are going to do. And so and the other one is the general contract that they are according to the GTM for 5 years. But within 5 years, then it's time to turn areas to perform. That's where you come to the performance and so on. But I'm not responding on that, not in the content of this matter and so on. But I must also make the DM and the DC aware that the Honorable Killen is president on the matter because he had a question in the House and the minister responded. He got a response of him. So the minister responded talking about the employment contract, not the performance, which has been signed now in March or so. Now, that's where the problem is. Well, he's got a call from the minister, where the minister is saying, yes, the employment contract has been signed around March or so. He has not talked to the performance. Now, so I'm just doing that so that you are aware that that information is in the head as a response by the minister. And then there is
can't do your actual test because you can't go into implementation. You need to plan first, then implement. But it's an area that I'm not aware. The trick is how do we get it right. That's something that we're working on.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm going to respond to the issue around the payment of bonuses to 150 employees. I think that was raised by Honorable Chair and Honorable Chair. I'm indicating to the committee that the bulk of these people who have paid bonuses are mainly sitting at the non-SMS level, whereas just a small number, about 8, the reason being that most of these positions are support functions, and of course there are performance agreements, there are deliverables that people have to meet, and of course then when the organizational performance assessment policy is considered, if these people have indeed performed what they are required to do, as well as whether they have exceeded that which they had to perform, and when they are found to have exceeded the standard that they said, on the basis of that determination that bonuses are paid. So the committee noted that the main goals would be the non-SMS level. I think the second issue that was raised by Honorable Chua was around the issue of irregular expenditure, which I think the Deputy Minister has already spoken to. I think we also want to emphasize to the committee that over and above what the AG has reported, compared to the context of what the AG has reported, we also took a different approach to Parliament through a thorough investigation into the weaknesses of the internal control, and we were able to identify some of the irregular expenditure which we were able to report to the Auditor General when they started with audit, so that they could then disclose them as irregular. And I think there is an amount of about 150 million which is reflected in the report. 95 million of that has been identified by the Parliament, and when the Auditor General walked into the office, we did disclose that amount, we did report it to the Auditor General. And of course, that can also point to the fact that the internal controls in the Department seem to be improving in the sense that we are able to identify and detect the irregular expenditure. And also, that was done as part of the cleanup process, so that going forward, we erase completely the issue of irregularity. That's why the Honourable Members have noticed that if you read the report in terms of the percentages around irregular expenditure that belong to the year under review, the percentage is slightly less compared to previous years in relation to food and regulatory expenditure. And also that then talks to the issue of the effectiveness of the internal audit, because that's one area that we are challenging and has since been addressed, so that we're able to detect and make sure that internal controls are effective within the department.
If the gentleman, Dr. Clara, I think what causes members to complain or to raise this matter, probably you must clarify whether if you reach a point that the department is benefited, there might be some procedural aspect. But the department has benefited in terms of that. Do you take disciplinary cases in that circumstance? I think that's what the members are talking about. And you are not responding to that. Well, that's why members are thinking, because the members, I'm sure they understand that you weigh whether the department is benefited or not, right, and one thing. But there are people who decide not to follow process. So what happens to those people who are benefited or not, but it was people here, would decide not to follow process and so on. I think you need to be explicit. Otherwise, because the impression is created is that it will seem this irregular thing is not taken seriously because anyone was benefited. So many times people can just do as they wish because the funding benefit is fine. And so that challenges the internal control. I think that can still does not take away the fact that the official is wrong. Therefore, the disciplinary action kicks in. And that's why I mean, he reported earlier on to indicate that in the instance of the regular expenditure of the travel agents that were appointed between 2006 and 2010, four officials were charged. It was a very lengthy disciplinary process, which of course then takes its own route, but then we have to be involved with the lawyers and so on. So that's a very clear process. And where a prudent expenditure has been incurred, it's very clear that there is no negotiation. We go straight for recovering the money, like the DJ mentioned, that so far on the prudent and wasteful expenditure was recovered 1.3 million. But we do not only recover, we also discipline people so that because if somebody may say that's fine, I'll pay, I booked a ticket and it's not show up, it was 2,000 rand, I'll pay 2,000 rand and I'll do it again. The better not pay the 2,000 rand, the disciplinary process will then follow. So those are the processes that we are very much consistent on. And I must indicate to the committee that we are beginning to take this very seriously in department. That's why the irregular expenditure challenge that is going down, because people begin to understand that if an irregular expenditure has been, or the official decided to put the PFMA aside and get the permission of the PFMA, actions will follow going forward. Thank you, sir.
I know there are other questions, but a Chinese might pass. And we know once they pass, the tea is gone. So when they come into the parliament, but when they buy in tea, they think the cat is from South Africa. So probably that does pray for sickness.
That is the implementer, the person who is responsible for that. report. It's not a matter of only the audit committee on the internal. It's a matter of every person that touches transaction. And I think that will cover the whole issue about the internal audit and external audit.
Oversight problem. When you read this presentation, yeah, situation I had. God was it was work being done in terms of this oversight branch. But we get an answer from the DD earlier for saying that the DD is yet to be appointed. Now the response I get is that it's very limited work that's been done. I have a bit of a challenge because when you read this, but the answers we're getting now are very different to what's going on later. And I have a problem with it. I think if we're going to come there and give answers and say what's been done, let's be frank and give a frank overview of what's been done. Rather than say there's a branch, but it's doing very limited work. But the very creative is doing the limited work. But as it goes on, they're now finding out that it's actually doing very limited work.
If you see honourable members, there is not any person can convince you about that branch. We have been all over planning. We are dealing with the entity. It's nothing. So we have to ask the Americans if any person can convince the committee otherwise about the branch which manages SOE. It's actually nothing. It's a particular that one would. We've been there, dealing with the SOEs, went to oversight and so on. And yes, that one is a challenge. But probably the team, when you craft your report, you see, sometimes that's why the member is raising to say, it gives the impression that the work is tenderer. But as they talk more, then answers come. Now, I'm sure you understand what becoming difficult for them. The difficulty about that is that you'll end up not trusting what you're saying. And because we are creating a situation there where we must always probe to get the reality. So now you want us to be investigators and so on, which we are not. We are all just senior members of parliament who are supposed to be getting proper information and process the information and move forward. We are not used to be investigators and so on, but when maybe an appeal that when you give us this report, don't put us to be investigators. Because you see, once you are becoming investigators, then of course you are going to undermine the integrity. Because it's very important to manage the system and so on. But that's what I got the number. I'm not sure whether there are any other questions which you still have to respond to before I check.
I was saying I'm responding to a question that I have wanted to with regard to the performance agreement of the DG. And it responded to the question that we have signed the performance agreement, which meant that the DG has won. Then at a later date, I was then informed that in fact the DG has not signed back what the minister has given to him, which means the
board members, like hands and other things and so on. But thanks very much for your open and being honest, so that we don't move out of here and start to read things in the paper and so on, which may be contrast to things discussed. I don't know why are you raising hands, Member President? Follow-up question. Comment. I can see you want to comment. Okay, okay. So those want to comment, but that's it. Honorable Kendane, Honorable Kile. But probably, no, let me allow you to comment. Let me not say anything. Honorable Kendane. I was saying this now confuses because he said in the previous ministry he signed the performance agreement and the minister didn't sign, and he asked what is, has that been corrected by the new minister, and the year has changed. This is 2012, I think, from April until next year, 2013. The current one is in time. And then, somebody answered, oh, dear, like she's in God, she has died now. If last time the problem was the minister that she didn't come in, this time now the minister signed that he is not trying to, I don't know. What is it that we are doing? Is it revenge or something? Because we need to get this budget out for the department to offer it properly. And we are obliged to hear if now the minister signed why she's not signing. I don't think it's something to be budgeted out between the two levels of the office. I think there's a procedure now since the is here. Maybe she can tell you the last time he tells the ministry that he is there. Now he is there to consider you.
I think what I would like to recommend is that we will be deliberating on this as a committee, on what proposals and recommendations we would like to put forward to Parliament with regard to this matter. But secondly, the comment that I just wanted to make was that I trust that everybody here understands that misrepresentation of factuality in Parliament is actually a very, very grave suppression. And I just want to make sure, because in the process, the executive is exposed, and I really want to thank the Honourable Deputy Minister for explaining to Parliament that she had the incorrect information, and we thank her for that. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.
Thank you.
remember, probably arises one thing, that let us not try to discuss this matter in psychoanalysis. It's not an emotional issue, it's a matter which need to apply our lives very well. I know that for any person to sit before the Committee of Parliament and not obtain the truth, that on its own is a consequence in Parliament. Because everyone, whatever word you ask again, there should be a truthiness on those things and so on. If there's an issue of being economical about the truth, because probably you don't want the members to ask you more questions and other things and so on, it is a serious matter. We as Parliament, because our own processes to deal with as Parliament, which we hope that from the executive side, we are going to be able to also to handle the matter on your own account. We don't know how to handle that matter because we are yet dealing with our own host and so on. But members, we of course confer with the legal services of Parliament. In fact, before, hopefully they'll be able to come back to us before we finalize the processes, so that our way forward or recommendation are within the rules of Parliament, how to deal with misrepresentation and so on. But indeed, we are still coming to others. You know, there are others who have given us wrong information. We go for them. So that anyone enter the door of this committee must understand that whatever each and every way they are going to utter is the truth. That's why we are there today to present. So you must know that everything you present should be truth. And I'm sure the committee is clear that it's not going to violate anything else. And don't undermine the members in terms of knowing and having information. And so on, because sometimes it's also for us that they probably we don't know some of these things and so on. So, but I hope that we see that matter that time, members. There's nothing much we can do now. We'll see how to handle the matter moving forward after we talk and see that services and so on. But otherwise, members, I hope there's no question which is left from the question I've asked. All your questions have been answered. And we must thank the Department of Communications led by the Deputy Minister today and the DG and the other DGs who are here and everyone else from the UOC who are here. We normally say some departments they provide because they've got the low people down there who actually do their work. When they pull on top of fighting, the experts who do the work continue to do the work. That's why departments are staff, even the institutions, the SOE, they continue. I know one of the things always make an example with SAEC, that is not they open the CV and so on and don't find what they pay. It doesn't matter what happens, but they will be forecasting, continuing and so on. It might be equal to the council, it doesn't matter what the council has decided to do, but there is a continuous work which the regulator is doing and those are the people who push that regulator as well. But thank you very much, dear LPC and your team for your presentation. We'll deliver it on the next round and so on. But if we should must add emphasize, probably, just to refresh your memory, that's two issues. In 2009-2010, at one point, you had this consultant firm which will be assisting with appointments. It seems to be okay, we don't know what happened. No one is talking about it. I don't know. Some of the members can check what happened. So consultant which were helping you to fill your vacancies. 2009, 2010 financial year. So I was something, I don't know what happened to that consultant. It just disappeared. So someone must check where they exactly went. So no one is reporting about it. In fact, you still have a high vacancy rate, but you had consultants that I assume was 8 months to do that work. But no one is reporting about that. I'm not sure, gentlemen, part of the 95 million or so, part of the money which we have other irregular and so on, which we have identified, that also includes what happened about that SR consultant campus, which is what was in the normally, illusion process misrepresented in our own time. At our own time and have the necessary advice and so on. And probably like members are indicating, I might have to confer also with them and in the same time and so on. But finally the committee will have to take and then come forward and so on. Honorable Kilian.
So I just want to have confirmation that they will be representatives. Senior managers for the SMEs who will remain behind for our interaction with the CASA.
And you think I have heard this much? When we are dealing with the SOE, indirectly we are dealing with the OC. So but the unfortunate part is that we can't decide for them who to sign. Last week it was this place name was very nice. Mahuma Song. Last week we had Mahuma Song. Very nice tennis. And I like that play name. Yeah, and that's the person. But I think Honorable Kilimanjaro raises is that it is important that whoever GPS a person photo. It has a chance to use a pattern and then undermine that pattern and come to the board. Okay, that's better than if you hear STM and so on. But otherwise, I think those were the issues. The second issue, TG, I'm not sure that you were here when I read it, that the members took an expression, an offense, that one of the officials confronted them outside about the matter which was discussed in the house. And then when they were outside, it's honorable to what you said when you were talking about the lady of the leader. It's a matter of time raised last week that they probably must try to minimize it as far as possible so that we manage this relation very well and so on. You see, sometimes we cross the line too much. We are all friends, of course, but we must understand the DM and the protocol link there when we interact and other things and so on, in particular in these forums and so on. But when we meet, you know, even the Honorable Mutua, we all have stories in that deadline, you know, when we go down and other things, dancing, you know, sick and dance. It's a good dance, but that's of the Honorable Mutua. You can find some other time, you won't back it. So, but it's a matter TG which we have raised. I don't think that we are raising the matter now with that emphasis, but we are saying it's something which you must be able to talk to. Sometimes you spend your own time with them, you don't need to sit down with them and brief them. What are the protocols of Parliament? So we understand when they want us sometimes, because sometimes it's not from the people briefing them, go to Parliament, they have come. They find everyone talking, they continue to talk and other things. They don't know that they established a culture of gentlemen and other things, you know, or related matters. But that's a matter which we wanted to raise here. Just to see this, but we're not saying it's that, but yeah, just to manage. I'm sure the entities will do the same, how we manage those things and so on. But then, very much, we are done with the OC, and we need to take and in terms of their presentation and so on. But then very much is the ADM, anything to say before we allow your team to? You are okay. And then very much DG, thank you and your team. We are done with you. Honorable, so I want to ask one thing.
want to go.
So
I believe quite weakened. Maybe the ITU, the broadcasting phenomena, and also the Kufta. And these have gone very well so far. And I also want to thank our Honorable Chair and also the Honorable Members of the Puyo Committee for constantly reminding us that we should always be aligned with our 5-year strategic plan. And I can safely say that what we are going to present here is going to be closely tied with that 5-year strategic plan. And where there is deviation, we will try and provide you with an explanation on how that has come about. We have also provided you with the annual report, and that should also show you what our aims and aspirations are for this fiscal year and for those 4 or 5 years to come. The CASA vision, mission and values have not changed at all. They are still the same. Our vision is to advance the building of a digital society. Our mission is to ensure that all South Africans are access to a wide range of high quality communication services at affordable prices. The value statement ties in with the necessity, effectiveness, proportionality, transparency and accountability. And I'm not going to belabor reading all of that, but we have
crisis in leadership. You've got a crisis in financial management and the other issues. Those two are crises. And you are likely to crisis in government. And this remains the same for 2010, 2011. As we are talking about 2011, 2012, there is no improvement. That's what you are going to prevent, or that's what you are talking about. That's to paint the picture, what you are dealing with here, and then proceed with your presentation. In your presentation, I hope they will be talking to these things with the AG or as they is identified as crisis being discussed.
It's important that that is important to the particular concern that we have raised on our chair. We need to also flag what we hope have actually given.
But what that means of my concern is that Auditor General of South Africa would say, oh, it's not me, I don't have the ability to do those things.
My apologies, Chair. I didn't mean your concern per se. Having said that, I think it would be important to share with what the core programs have achieved during the year under review, specifically on our core mandate, as defined by the relevant legislation. With respect to the program two, which are of licensing and compliance, it's important to indicate to the honorable members that we already have granted three licenses for the provision for commercial radio broadcasting services for Gauteng, Cape Town, and Durban. And the leadership impact for granting those particular three licenses is to ensure that there's an increase in diversity and choice in the broadcasting sector, as well as promotion of competence. We also can indicate that we have conducted public hearings to determine the feasibility of issuing medium wave license. And the expected outcome of that is to explore opportunities to increase competition in the commercial sound broadcasting market. The authority has issued an invitation to apply for commercial radio broadcasting licenses in the FM frequencies for the geographical markets of the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Free State. Again, the intended outcome of that particular achievement in order to introduce competition, diversity of broadcasting content, and to introduce more interesting advanced individuals in the particular area. Furthermore, we have made some other achievements in as far as our compliance are concerned. We have developed a compliance manual procedure regulation so that we are in a position to effectively monitor compliance by the licensee, and the regulation is also to assist us to look at improved compliance and lastly to streamline reporting procedures. We have also, in terms of our achievement regarding compliance report, a report on the coverage of the 2011 municipal election, and again, in that regard, that was to ensure that improved compliance by broadcasters with the election coverage regulation and also fair coverage by the broadcasters. With respect to new commercial subscriptions, broadcasting services, we can indicate that there are several achievements that we can highlight. One is that the authority licensed one new commercial subscription services, namely for TV. Again, that is the intended impact of that is commercial subscription broadcasting market, another segment of the broadcasting sector that requires more competition and liberalization of the market. The other achievement that the authority granted and issued radio frequency spectrum license for the purpose of providing mobile television to existing licenses, namely multi-choice and ETV. Yes, the intended community radio services. We have a licensed banking community radio station. And again, it helps to provide a voice for community development and power. We have also issued one program with a community low-power broadcasting service license. The intention there is to receive diversity and choice in broadcasting sectors as well as promotion for competition. We have issued 12 community special event broadcasting licenses for their areas and provinces. This also is to allow communities in these areas to experiment with community radio broadcasting services through pilot initiatives during festivals and other events. On issues of electronic communications, network and services, we have licensed 64 ECS and 68 ECS operators. Again, that is to provide small and emerging entrepreneurs with opportunities of entering the listed market and expanding the electronic communications market. On unreserved postal service, we have registered 34 unreserved postal operators, which then brings us a total of 68 in operation. In fact, the impact of this is to open competition among hundreds of operators spread across the country and to provide an opportunity for historically disadvantaged individuals to enter the growing market. In terms of transfer, amendment, private electronic network and electronic communication service license exemption, the authorities happy to report that there were 30 individual electronic communication services and individual electronic communication services licenses under transfer. We have also 18 PCDNS license exemptions, and we have 2 PCS license exemptions. One class community sound broadcasting service license amended, one reserved postal service license amended, one individual broadcasting service license transfer, and one individual broadcasting service license amendment. This is to ensure that the basic license terms and conditions remain intact as part of our mandate. Overall, we can indicate that we have approved 40 annual compliance reports in terms of compliance with broadcasting regulations and legislation. This includes the FABC, public and commercial television and radio services. We have published the compliance procedure manual regulation as indicated earlier on. And we have approved 15 major CPS and CPNS annual compliance reports in compliance with the General Agency regulations, the Code of Conduct regulations, and the Code on People's Disability. Now, all of that, those achievements also to make sure that the whole aspect of compliance with the conditions pertaining in the terms and conditions of the regulations governing the respective market on annual basis adhered. We have also approved the annual compliance report of the South African Post Office. And again, to ensure that the South African Post Office comply with the license terms and conditions and the regulations. Moving on to the next program dealing with engineering technology, with respect to the spectrum, frequency spectrum category, one of the achievements is that broadcasting signal distribution market review discussion paper and start beginning to happen now. And this intention is to look at the reduction in the charges faced by the community license. We have also achieved an achievement in terms of licensing of spectrum. The intention of the outcome of that is to ensure efficient use of high demand spectrum. Another achievement is ensuring the provision of broadband. And the intention is to allow new entrants to the market to stimulate competition and increase access to broadband services to rural areas. Furthermore, we have updated the national band plan and frequency migration plan in line with the ITU final X2012. We've done a desktop research on market-based licensing mechanism completed and the preliminary report was produced. We have also participated in the ITU and regional forum dealing with MIT digital migration and cognitive radio and standardization forum. Now, all those particular achievements under this particular category was to basically look at greater access in terms of mobile telecommunication spectrum, greater access to the radio frequency spectrum by optimizing spectrum. terms of radio spectrum licensing, the authority commission has started to determine a new radio spectrum use framework, specifically the economic value of the spectrum. The bidding for the 2012-13 financial year was successfully completed based on the new radio frequency spectrum regulation. The intended outcome of this is to increase the revenue base for the national system. Licensing framework for high demand frequencies. The authority identified the 800 MHz and the remaining radio frequency spectrum in the 2.5 to 2.6 band as high demand and which must be licensed through a competitive licensing process. The draft industry consultation was also completed, and this is again to use the greater access to high demand spectrum. On digital terrestrial television replanning, the authority commends the development of a comprehensive digital terrestrial television frequency plan. And also the authority commends the digital migration implementation plan. The intention is to address the challenges faced by the authority to roll out DDT using digital video broadcast T2. The replanning process is undertaken, taking cognizance and consideration of the ITU Final Act of 2007, the ITU's Radio Regulations Edition 2008, and the WRC 12 Final Act 2012. Formation of the Joint Spectrum Advisory Group. The authority has established a Joint Spectrum Advisory Group with the intention to advise the authority on spectrum management methods during the digital migration process. Participation in the regional and international technical forum is important to indicate that the authority participated in the work of the WRC 12 with the intention to contribute to the development of the Final Act and the ITU radio regulation. Also collaborating with academic and research institutions, the authority collaborated with academic and research institutions with the intention to improve the administrative, regulatory, and technical expertise of frequency management as well as the funding for frequency spectrum research. Radio communication frequency licensing. The authority has issued about 50,000 or more radio frequency spectrum licenses every year to a wide variety of operators. The intention here is that licenses were issued on to manage the emergency areas, disaster, safety and security, aeronautical and maritime areas. Spectrum licenses. We have 47,000 or licenses that were issued at the end of March. And again, this is to promote competition and increase revenue base. Equipment type approved, we have 10,209 licensees, certificate approved as of the 31st of March 2012. And again, this is to promote compliance with respect to type approved. Market and competition, in the area of market and competition analysis, we have made an achievement in terms of the publication of the local group and banking discussion document and the subsequent public hearing with the health. The outcome of that was to look at impact outcome of the public consultation regarding local group and banking of the price reduction in access to the wholesale layer of telecom network on the 1st of April 2012, as well as the introduction of a new wholesale access layer product that is system toward the end of November. Again, the index of this will be a reduction in the retail prices and new innovative services resulting in increased demand. We have also achieved a term of publication of a discussion document outlining the definition of broadcasting transmission services for the provision of signal distribution services and the holding of public hearings about this concern. The intended impact is that an average of 33% reduction for community television broadcasters and an average of 65 reduction for community radio broadcasters. Interconnection and publicity listing provides the framework to uphold the open access provision for the Electronic Communications Act to promote interoperable networks and competition in the electronic communications market. That achievement, the intention of that is to ensure that the authority will note and receive 49 interconnection agreements and 14 publicity listing agreements. There were 10 disputes regarding the conclusion of agreements were reported on, and the resolution was
number. You have already approved a 5.7% Safo general price increase for implementation in 2012-2013. This intention is to ensure that the consumers are protected in terms of pricing. The authorities revised the existing proposed regulation regarding the introduction of a new numbering plan and engage in further public consultation. The intention of the that results in more lessons to become eligible to apply for numbers for purpose of providing communication services. A preliminary audit of the numbering process allocation was also conducted, and that is to ensure efficient, effective utilization of numbering resources by licensed operators in line with the numbering plan regulation. The authority initiated the development of the regulated financial reporting framework for wholesale call termination. The outcome of that is the establishment of an instrument to be used by established significant market operators. The authority party the whole objective for the implementation of carrier pre-selection framework. The intention is to promote customer choice and different pricing options. On broadcasting policy development and research, the authority published and issued paper and engaged in extensive regional public consultation on the necessity for the review of existing analog-based regulatory framework for broadcasting. The purpose of this paper was to consult with the public and to identify the effective sequencing of the review process. The authority thereafter also released revised regulations in March 23rd that incorporated the Ministerial Policy Directive and met out the regulatory process for the digital terrestrial television migration. The healthy regulations that allocate capacity for broadcasting services to existing and future licenses in the digital era is the internal outcome of the particular achievement. The authority submitted these recommendations to the Minister of Communications in August 2011 on ownership and control for broadcasting services. The internal outcome of this, the purpose of the review, is to analyze the existing ownership and control of commercial broadcasting services with the purpose of determining whether the market can be further opened up and enhance the participation of 30 different agent groups, including an individual and including personal visitors. On consumer affairs, which is the last core program, we can indicate to the honorable members that we have received and handled 4,553 complaints, and the envisage impact of benefits to receive and reverse consumer complaints regarding communication services in the field of fixed mobile telephony, broadcasting, and mobile services. We have resolved 3,081 complaints and 1,472 are still pending. Again, the impact is similar to the one that are articulated before. The authority also established a committee for analyzing the Consumer Protection Act and the Electronic Communications Act in order to make recommendations to the authority on application for exemption. We can indicate the outcome of the consultation process was that the authority needs to focus on price, quality of service, and risk. The authority analyzed the data gathered and then compiled an application for exemption that was forwarded to the Ministry of Trade and Industry to prevent the authority from communications methods whereby it does not have jurisdiction. Part of education and awareness. Part of the work is to raise public awareness in the matter of telecommunication services. We can indicate one of the achievements in terms of awareness that raise the awareness using both the print, electronic media, community radio, talk shows, and public presentations in all kinds of groups. And the intention of that is to inform community about accessibility, availability, affordability of communication as a fundamental right. On consumer outreach campaigns, we had World Consumer Rights Day, and the authority hosted the campaign in all 9 provinces between the 15th and the 28th of March 2012. We also had a total of 190 outreach around universal service and access, and also to provide the authority with a platform to be updated by the community on what needs to be done as far as the ICT sector is concerned and what initiatives need to be looked at in terms of addressing those particular concerns. Lastly, is to ensure that we provide an opportunity for consumers to lodge their complaints with the authority as a public on public outreach, again, we have a number of competition. The authority develops and distributes pamphlets on the following categories. One, consumer guide, 30,000 copies were distributed. On postal care, customer care panel, 80,000 copies were also distributed. And we have also reprinted the code on people with disabilities to raise. We've got about 80,000 copies that we have produced. The authority punishes the consumer alert on roaming charges, data charges, wrong phone dealing, fraudulent dealing, and suspicion of mobile competition in the national paper. This, in total, is basically trying to address the areas where consumers need to be aware about the opportunities that are out there and also make them aware about their rights in terms of understanding whether the bills that they receive are adequate, adequately, any fraudulent bills come to our mind as an authority, we need to make sure that the consumers are aware of them, and as part of our campaign, we have a strategic objective that specifically talks about protection of the consumers, and this is basically an area that we have tried to address. On human resource, which is a sub-program, we just highlighted a few issues. We have implemented a cost to company remuneration system, company-wide, and this is to ensure that the employees have a variety of flexibility in managing their salary packages, taking into account their individual tax rates. We have also settled with organized labor at an 8% salary increase across the board for all employees in the bargaining unit. This will enable employees to benchmark their service package with their peers in the electronic communication system. On information technology, we have implemented an electronic record and document management system. And this will improve efficiency and effectiveness of tracking and accessibility of digital
documents. Before you go on, I'm sorry for 5 minutes to present before you answer. Members, the reason why Honorable Newman is supposed to begin with Honorable Nivon Thomas is facing a delicate so we're trying to do the health thing related to arrange the mental health and so on. So that's why I've been trying to get it on. But I hope they are coming back to it again and so on. You can finish your 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. On human resource, I think we just want to reflect on the demographic level. I think the table basically indicates, if you look at the percentage of gender and race, we are almost equal in terms of females and males. The table is for one of our members to analyze